it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's time for the firm of Harris and Meringue.
I was terrified that I was not going to make the show on time.
Patrick Harris.
Hi, friend.
Danny Meringue.
I'm one of those weirdos.
On the Fan Sports Network.
Hi, friends. Man, I am all over the place today. I am all over.
You're behind. I haven't even taken my headphones out yet.
I need it in my blood.
This is the problem with having the handover, is we want to talk so much.
Yeah.
As they're walking out and we're walking in, it's like,
I like those guys.
I don't.
I know you don't.
I like to talk to them.
The way you treat them, I can tell that.
Oh, come on now. I treat them incredibly well.
You treat them like you treat everybody else.
Exactly.
Like garbage.
Yes, there you go. You're picking up what I'm putting down. Ding, 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 ding.
God, these headphones are so loud.
He is deaf.
You know you can turn that down, right?
I know,
but he's deaf.
Oh, I got you.
He's deaf. Like, he will just sit down and plug them in and go, watch. And it's just like, womp, just blaring through. I'm like, good God.
I know, but I was like all behind today, so I'm like discombobulated and trying to get my levels correctly.
Dirt's ding
wrecked me.
The Dirt's I have to turn down ever so slightly. Ever, like, he doesn't have it cranked to the max. Sprague has got that thing dialed all the way up.
And Swag is loud in it too, so I'm surprised that's a double beef right there.
Yeah, does he turn it down when Swag talks?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know.
It's the one thing on me that's not broken.
What, your ears?
My hearing.
Says the guy who literally stopped talking in the middle of a segment because you have tinnitus, but your ears are healthy.
Well, no. My hearing is very good.
Are you telling? Okay, all right. Let's slow this down for a minute. Here's the situation, okay? You are telling me that you have no hearing issues, you just have tinnitus.
Yes.
Tinnitus is not a hearing issue?
Not in the sense of like what I can and can't hear.
But all you hear is a high-pitched ring.
When it comes up at what, like once every 3 months.
Do you hear the ring?
Yeah.
Therefore, that affects your hearing.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. When I don't have that, which is a very rare occasion.
But that is a hearing issue.
Sure, but my ability to hear, like I've because I worked in places, manufacturing centers and stuff like that, I had to have my hearing tested every year. And I was always at the very upper echelon of like ability to hear like high frequency noises and stuff like that.
But you still have a hearing issue.
Sure, but my ability to hear is still good.
Everything that's else, how as bad they've been now.
That's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah, how many times are you guys going to split this hair?
Pretty much. Look, I'm blind as a bat. I'm surgically repaired up, down, left, right, and center. But my hearing is still there. I don't have to do that. Huh? What? I will say, the low light ability to read or see is becoming a problem.
Oh, my vision's shot.
I noticed it the other day. I was trying to read something when I was on my phone at the golf course. I don't know, like 2 weeks ago. It was like the sun was starting to set. And the brightness setting hadn't adjusted on my phone. I'm doing the back and forth like, what the hell? Like, why can't I see this? And I was like, oh no, this is a problem.
Oh yeah. The last year or so, my vision has gone to hell. I mean, I think I've had these glasses probably 10 years, 11 years.
Yeah. My vision is going and I'm okay with it because my hearing's in great shape and I would rather be able to hear than be able to see.
Oh God, no.
Me, I would.
If I had to choose one or the other, eyes.
I'd much rather be able to hear than see.
You'd rather be blind than deaf?
Yep.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, dude, I'm too auditory, man. If I can't hear things, like, I'm going to go insane. It's the truth. Like music, conversation, like, never hearing my kid's voice. Shout out, happy birthday, Bubs.
Never seeing your kid's faces.
Yeah, but I can remember what that looks like.
You can remember what they sound like.
No, I don't remember what my dad sounds like.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Weird.
weird.
He's been gone for 12 years, over 12 years. I don't remember his voice. I know his face, like that.
Can we get really dark here for a second? If, if you just remembered him like Bobcat Goldthwait.
I don't know what that is.
You.
I just said I don't know what that
you,
is.
You
don't
know
respond.
Who Bobcat is.
Don't
Have you
respond
watched
that
Police
way.
Academy?
Yes.
The weird dude.
Okay. Yeah. You know, like I said, you know who Bobcat is.
My 9-year-old does this. Ooh, I get to say that now. He's 9. when I'm like, I don't know what that is. He's going, you don't know what that... I just told you I don't know what that is. I just told you.
But I was right. You did know.
But it had to be explained.
See, but you knew.
Okay, I could not remember what
he
that was.
He was aware of the general existence of said person, I but don't did have, not ha- could not attach a face to a name.
I don't have memory issues. I just couldn't remember that.
How many hairs are we going to split in this first segment?
Fantex Lane. Danny's been taught that it is not service-related. End of discussion. Yes. Yes. The fact that my left ear is the only one that has the tinnitus, which is the one that faces the end of the
you
barrel.
You have a hearing issue.
Yeah.
To say your hearing is 100% does not make sense. Anybody with me? Am I drinking crazy juice here? What's wrong with you people? I'm good at dealing with people.
Mayo Clinic. Tinnitus can interfere with your hearing. It is, however, is not a condition that is associated with hearing loss or hearing impairment. Suck it.
Have you ever been to a volcano?
Guys, move on.
I'm right.
Okay. You know, I was thinking about this the other day. You know, I quit coffee.
Yeah, how'd that go?
Yeah, I'm back. I'm back to coffee. And you know why? Because I thought coffee was giving me anxiety, and then I learned it's just you. Because I had a bunch of coffee over the weekend, feeling good. I had a coffee yesterday on the show, feeling good. Today, my heart's beating a little fast.
Heart go burr.
I'm not chump. I'm not stoked about this.
I'm not chump.
I have no idea. I have no idea. God, I hate this show. That's a fact.
I'm not chum.
Bad hearing has been linked to dementia, too. That's a factor, I think.
Yeah, we were talking about this off air the other day. One of the things that's most likely or most linked to longevity and long life, grip strength.
Grip strength. I ain't got grip strength. I'm going out early.
It's one of those weird things. You're just like, but why? It's like, because it's one of those things. It's like a indicator of physical health.
I think as I continue on through this world, I think I'm okay getting to like 70 and calling it. I don't know if I got 85 in me.
Dude, I used to joke in my early mid-20s, if I made it to 60, it was successful. I'll be 41 next month. And to be honest, I don't think I've adjusted that much. Like, with where my body is at, making it to 60 is kind of a win. Because usually when the hips go,
yeah,
it is woof down the plane.
I got to be careful because I'm getting fatter.
Mm.
Like, that's what I got to be careful about. I'm having dinner with the in-laws tonight. I know they're going to say something. Is there an 8-hour weight loss program? No. Could I lose 40 pounds in like 8 hours?
No.
7-minute abs.
Yeah.
In seven minutes, I have abs?
6-minute abs.
Amazing. My son goes, do you have a 6-pack? I go, no, I got a 2-liter. And he dies. He thinks it's the funniest thing in the world.
Yeah, I used to say, I don't have a 6-pack. I got a pony keg.
When I first started putting on weight, I said it was like a Rolex. It takes time, effort, and money to get it this way.
Mm.
See?
I don't think I put in a ton of effort. Mm. I think this is just locked, cocked.
I mean, I've lost 100 pounds in the last 10 months.
That's crazy, dude. Yeah. That's a lot of weight.
Yeah.
100 pounds? Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Yeah, dude. I put on 110, 120 over the past 3 or 4 years because I couldn't move.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a lot of weight.
I got
dude.
Fat as hell. Are you kidding me? And it was depressing. It was freaking miserable.
I never saw you around that time.
Oh, you can go find some pictures, man. I look like I ate the guy I used to be.
Dude, I don't have to. I can just look at the pictures of you and me.
Yeah, well, it's true.
You're not even fat. I'm just those. Maybe I should just take you around with me everywhere.
Didn't you see? You look great, dude.
You look great.
You look great. Got this behemoth over there next to you. It's like, oh wow.
But then I could never have coffee or any sort of stimulant because I'm just an absolute nervous chum over here. Because I got you around with me.
Well, I mean, that explains a lot.
You can't bring the dogs either. I don't want the small dogs around me.
Oh, dude.
I can't handle it.
I went to go take him for a run.
That is anxiety for
me. Dude, I went to go take him for a run yesterday. I walk out of the house, and this little girl, she's like 7 years old. She's like, can I pet your dogs? Both my dogs are COVID dogs. They were not around a lot of people.
Oh, okay.
And one of the dogs had a little kid kind of mishandle her when she was younger, so she does not like kids.
It's called trauma.
And I was like, she's like, can I pet your dogs? I'm like, well, you can try. I'll hold them here real quick. And they were really nice for about 30 seconds. And then, and I was like, probably should back up. She's like, I'm like, don't worry, sweetheart. It's not your fault. I go, they're a little scared because they're tiny. She's like, oh, she was really sweet kid. She didn't get bothered by it. I was like, oh. I looked at them both like, I'm so disappointed in you two. Like, you couldn't just be nice to the kid. Just couldn't be nice, huh?
Well, I think we've learned today, if you listen to the morning show, that it's not okay to be nice to kids.
Yeah, you know, I mean,
we're not nice to anybody else these days.
I missed that story until yesterday.
Oh, really? You never saw that?
I didn't see it until yesterday. Then I saw it and I was like, so there was an AI image of it. And I was like, why is Tina Kotek in a Phillies jersey?
All right, that was funny.
Tell me I'm wrong.
I'll give you that.
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me she doesn't look exactly like Tina Kotek.
I'll give you that.
I was like, yeah. Legitimately, I just saw this woman who looks exactly like Tina Kotek in a Phillies jersey. And I went, well, what the hell did Tina Kotek do?
I feel like this is massive profiling.
I mean, if the haircut fits, come on. Haircut, the glasses, I mean, it looks just like her.
Oh, boy.
I'm just laying out over
here. Oh, boy.
But I was like, what the hell is this? And I clicked on it because I was like, is Tina Kotek a Phillies fan? And then I saw the story and then I saw the video and I was like, oh, God, this woman is wretched. Absolutely wretched.
Yeah, I always see that stuff because I'm a baseball guy. So, of course, stupid things that happen in the stands always hit my algorithm.
Yeah, normally, I get it. Always, but for whatever reason, I think it's because I was so football-pilled this weekend. It just, I didn't see it.
I like the dad carrying the baby and the beer and still catches the foul ball. I'm all about that. You seen that?
Mm-mm.
He's like holding
a
beer.
Yeah.
And he lets the little girl slide so he can like catch the ball. Yep. That's amazing. I'm also a big fan, and I really want to do this. There are people that catch the ball in their beer cup like it's a glove.
Yeah.
And then you have to chug the beer with the ball in it.
I mean,
I see it at Wrigley all the time.
Yeah.
And that
they're dirty people.
Sign me up for that.
Yeah.
Dude, that ball's actually probably pretty clean. There might be a little pine tar on it.
Yeah, well, or whatever's
sticky
on it.
Tack.
Yeah, I might say other than that. But yeah, because they're not hitting the ground.
No.
Yeah.
Earthy.
Yeah, a little matcha.
From the wood.
A little matcha beer.
Ooh, is this a pine or is this a bran fir?
Hint of pine in my beer.
Ooh, I think this tree was growing near a eucalyptus plant. Mm. I smell aloe.
Lavender. God, earthy. That's another one. People who use lavender in their food. I'm like, why? Why? Or rose water.
Rose water. I was just going to say rose water.
We've already done this. Yeah. Like,
but why? I don't understand it.
One of the most pretentious guys I know hates it when people are pretentious.
God. I'm not that pretentious.
Oakley doakley. Well, we got a show for you today. There's a lot to get to. We got some college football because it just means more. A bunch of NFL stuff to get to, plus Wem Gems at 11:45. In the noon hour, we'll react to Monday Night Football, and I can't wait. I'm going to let you figure out your way to circumnavigate how Caleb Williams didn't look terrible yesterday. So we'll do that in the 12 o'clock hour. He's already looking at me crazy.
He looked incredible, and then he looked awful.
So there's a lot to get to. We'll talk a lot of quarterback news from the NFL over the weekend leftovers to get to as well. But we'll start in college football. Look, week two is never that exciting, but I do think we came out of it knowing something. What did we learn? Where do we sit? College football week two. This is the firm of Harris and Morang on the Fan Sports Network, 105.1 FM.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's 10:18 here, Portland Sports Leader. Don't you forget it. We are live, baby, from the shadows. The historic Fremont Bridge. There's the fan text line, 503-864-6326. She'll let you interact with us throughout the entire show. Shout out to the YouTube cats. YouTube.com/1051TheFan. Also the Odyssey app. If you want to hang out with us, hold on loosely. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll get into the Oklahoma-Michigan game. We'll also check in on Group of Five leaders. A reminder, tomorrow, 10:30, we'll have Tyson Alger on, as we do every Wednesday at 10:30 during the duck season, to kind of recap the big win over the Pokes and looking ahead to Northwestern. And you know what? I decided this morning I'm going to ask Tyson to deviate from his job. I'm going to ask him about Oregon State.
Oh,
I'm just curious. Like, I know you don't cover them. I know you don't follow them.
Just general feelings.
How would you approach that if you were their writer? So we'll have that tomorrow for you guys.
I wonder if Nemec will say what Russell Wilson thinks. Did you see his tweet?
No.
Just tweeted out, mentally tough.
Mentally tough. Mentally tough.
Disgusting.
What does he want?
I don't know.
What is he yelling
at? Sprague's pointing at you like something.
No, I think he's pointing at something in front of me.
No, he's pointing at you. Directly at you.
Oh, he's just making sure that we know of our new updated Paramount read.
Mm. Yeah, I knew that
Sylvester
yesterday.
Stallone!
I already read that one yesterday.
Yeah, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Look at that crosstalk right there.
I know, huh?
That's what he chose to say?
Adrian!
I mean...
It's sly.
What's a more synonymous sly? Like, he doesn't have... There's no great Rambo quotes.
My favorite Sylvester Stallone quote is not from Sylvester Stallone. It's from the Lipton iced tea commercial. Remember that? It's like a celebrity deathmatch.
Oh, yeah, the claymation one, yeah.
And he's like losing before he has the Lipton iced tea. And he goes, hey, man, they keep ringing that bell. I can't concentrate.
God.
And then he takes a sip of the Lipton. He goes, that's brisk, baby. And then he hits the guy.
You know what lives
rent? That's my favorite.
Rent-free in my head, a celebrity deathmatch, Mills Lane. I'll allow it.
Dude, that show was great.
Oh, God, it was such a excellent banger.
Show was excellent. So that's what we got coming up, plus heavy NFL kind of quarterback talk in the 11 o'clock hour. But I ask the question that you are, feel free to share your thoughts as well, 503-864-6326, on where we sit in college football after week two. Not a lot of like huge upsets or anything of that ilk. I know Duke over Illinois was kind of a trendy pick. Or at least a trendy thought, although nothing really came from that game as Illinois rolled them.
Well, yeah, we have four
themselves
fumbles
in the top 10.
That'll happen.
Yeah. I think my biggest takeaway from week two is I really don't like my Clemson pick. Really don't like that.
Yeah, Klubnik's stinky.
Yeah, I think Clemson has a lot to be concerned about.
Mm-hmm.
That offense just is not clicking.
No.
I mean, also... We're going to look at Klubnik and we're going to look at that offense, but let's not forget that defense also got behind against Troy.
Yeah, it
like,
was just...
Like, you have national title aspirations. You can't do that, man.
It's a tough look.
It's a really, really tough look. Iowa games looked like Iowa games.
Yep.
Did you see Tyrese was the guest picker for it?
No.
Hallie? Yeah, Hallie was the guest picker for the Iowa State game.
Well, he's
Cyclone.
He's Cyclone.
He went to Iowa State. And I believe it was McAfee threw a little quip in there about, you know, how do you feel about this Kawhi Leonard situation? Mm. And Hallie responded something along the lines of, hey, man, you find somebody that wants to pay me to do nothing, you let me know.
Yep. Every player has the
every
same
like,
thought.
That sounds lovely.
My name's Bennett. I ain't in it. But you want to cut the check? You want to cut the check? I'll tell you, McAfee's feeling a certain kind of way right now with West Virginia losing to Ohio.
Yeah, that's rough.
Not Ohio State.
I thought
the Bobcats.
I thought Rich Rod was going to, like, bring glory
restore
back.
Glory back to the Mountaineers. Yeah, that was a tough one.
Ole Miss dodged...
the Kentucky Bullet.
They dodged the Kentucky Bullet, which means someone else gets the Kentucky Bullet.
Spin that chamber, baby. Who's it landing on this year?
Kiffin goes, whoa, not me. Not me.
Seriously, man, it's like a John Wick situation where, like, you write a name on the bullet.
Yeah.
And it just goes in the chamber, and it's just like you're just waiting for that gun to pop off.
Also, they were behind at the beginning of this game, so get that out of the way, too, mm-hmm. for Kiff. You were saying you were looking at stats yesterday, and Ole Miss ranks pretty high in first 2 weeks stats.
Pretty much all of the analytics, Ole Miss is a top 10 team.
That's wild,
it's
dude.
Crazy.
I want Kiffin so bad to be good.
He is good. Like, he is good.
If
the question is he great? I mean, you could say he's very good as a play caller.
He's very, very good.
As a play caller, as a transfer portal guy, as a quarterback developer, all of those things. He's very good. Mm-hmm. Is he great?
Is he a head coach, too?
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that.
You think so? Okay.
Yeah, I think Lane is established.
Because the big thought, you know, in my brain is if DeBoer goes.
Dabo.
You go for Dabo?
He's an Alabama guy.
Really? Yeah. I don't know if Dabo leaves Clemson.
That's the one job he leaves it for.
I don't know about that.
And if you follow DeBoer, the bar's lower.
I think I read something that Kiffin kind of burned a lot of bridges on the way out of Tuscaloosa, that he might never be an option for them again.
I mean,
what? Were you going to say something?
No, I'm just saying it's not surprising.
Mm. I think I've decided I'll have Utah in the Big 12.
Oh, yeah. Give me a 72 ounces of Utah.
Yeah, give me a lot of Utah. I'm trying to figure out the best way to phrase this. Do you feel for Dilly down at Arizona State?
Oh, God, that was rough.
I saw a little, like, short montage vignette while they were doing the highlights of that game. And he is just
he's intense.
Well, I know he's intense. We all know he's intense, but he is talking to the refs and not in like a red ass freak out intense guy, but in like a pleading desperate way. I think that might be the worst look of the weekend, unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean,
you were down.
You had one Big 12 crew that screwed up a call in the Kansas Missouri game. And
that's wild.
They've been thrown out.
I tried to read. I don't understand what happened.
Procedural error that was egregious. Okay. It's like, then, like, fundamentally changed the game, I guess, technically. But, yeah, it was. The whole crew's been suspended.
That's wild.
Yeah.
Accountability, huh? Yeah. Who would have thought?
It happens from time to time.
I really feel for Dilly at Arizona State. They seem to have a lot of things going against them. Boy, when did Mississippi State decide to have that crowd?
It's Cowbell Kingdom, baby.
Dude, Cowbell Kingdom has been great. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that in a long time. Well, since probably Dak Prescott was at Mississippi State.
They realized they had a chance, and they're like, wake up.
What made them feel like they have a chance against Arizona State?
At the beginning of the game.
Yeah, I guess so, and then it just gets intoxicating.
It just rides the wave.
I think what's really tough about that, and why I feel for Dilly a little bit, is that they overcame the odds. They overcame the issues, the situation. There was some serious moxie on that field for Arizona State to come back in that game, mm-hmm. and for it to end like that.
I just felt bad for Leavitt. Leavitt was awful.
He was really bad.
Just not the time to have that game.
I mean, a lot of these quarterbacks aren't looking good.
Yeah, there's really only a couple quarterbacks in the country.
Klubnik's not looking good. Leavitt didn't look good.
Nussmeier's been okay. Beck's been above average. I think honestly, you're the best quarterbacks in the country right now for like teams that are viable. They're all in the Big Ten. It's Altmyer. Altmyer's looked really good.
I would argue Arch was better than an average quarterback. I watched a lot of that, and there's still some to be desired there.
I think you're probably looking at Mateer, Altmyer, Moore, Maiava.
Aller hasn't looked bad yet.
No, but he hasn't looked great either. Mensah at Duke has been incredible, but, mm-hmm.
but they look bad.
But they look bad in that game because they couldn't take care of the ball.
Lagway, pretty mediocre this weekend. Well,
not even mediocre. Raiola's been good. Prabula's been good. Raiola. Nebraska's been good. I'm trying to think of who else is out there that's actually like looked good. Tennessee, Joey.
Yeah.
Aguilar. Other than that, man. Oh, Simmons at Ole Miss.
Yeah, there you go.
But other than that, but if you're talking, but don't get me wrong, there's a couple quarterbacks like at Western Kentucky and stuff like that are putting up. I'm talking at like big upper echelon programs, yeah. Stuff like that. There's really only seven or eight quarterbacks that have looked very good or great through the first couple weeks.
The kid at Boise State had a get right game.
Yeah, Mattson. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He had a get right game.
No, I mean, he just struggled so much against USF.
I know. So, I think that USF team might be good.
Yeah, turns out.
We'll talk group of five here in about a half hour. When we come back, though, let's get into the big game of the weekend. We'll stick a little college football here in this first hour. You mentioned John Mateer and Oklahoma-Michigan. Boy, that was a nice pageantry on the television, wasn't it? It's always fun to see those two teams play each other. And I didn't realize that they hadn't played each other in 50 years, and it was a bowl game. They had never met regular season. So we'll jump into that. Are we worried about Michigan? Do we feel good about Oklahoma? And where's Heisman Trophy look like coming out of that game? We'll do that next. But first, that kahuna over there, he's got sports.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly what people outside of Cleveland think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
503-864-6326 is the fan text line. Give us a shout. What up? Holla. Question, does UW have the best quarterback, running back, receiver combo in the country? Oh, I'm going to hold off on that comment for a little bit.
They're in discussion.
Potentially. I think there's some kids about a few hours down the road from us that might have a conversation about that.
It is
that
funny,
on the West
though,
Coast.
If you look at all of the offensive metrics so far, Pac-12 schools.
I know. It's great. It's fantastic. Like, UCLA, though. You guys suck.
Yeah. You can stay over there.
You guys suck.
You can stay over there.
I keep talking about if Northwestern is the worst team in the Big Ten, and I heard Morning Show talk about it, too. It might be UCLA. Yeah. For what they've spent?
I was talking to Sam. Sam's, you know, boiler up, Purdue.
Nice.
He was like...
He would be a Purdue guy.
Well, we were talking because USC played...
He's got actual education written all over him. But we're like this Wazoo kid over here.
We're talking about USC playing Purdue, and I'm like, I don't think you guys are the worst team in the conference. We're both like, Northwestern exists, and I totally forgot about UCLA, because even though they made the move, they're quote-unquote the rival, I don't care about school.
I don't think they're very good.
At all.
Jury out. We'll get back to that.
I will say, between Ritter, Coleman leads the country in rushing touchdowns right now.
Oh, does he?
He's got 7.
Well, they've played UC Davis and Colorado State.
Yeah. But, I mean, still, you know, he's 3rd in yards and number 1 with a bullet with rushing touchdowns.
Are they on a bye this week? Because I know they got us in 2 weeks. I think they're on a bye this week.
I don't know.
Sherpa derp. How much Michigan, Oklahoma did you watch?
All of it.
Me too?
Yeah.
I quite enjoyed that game.
That game I watched all of.
I quite enjoyed that game. I thought it was a little finicky in the first bit, a little bit. I thought Oklahoma was going to pull away.
You saw the greatness of Mateer, and then he followed up immediately the next play.
I know.
With the pick. He just did. The ball materialized out of the offensive line.
Materialized?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I did that on purpose. Come on now.
Russ looks uncomfortable.
Yeah, come on now.
I don't believe you.
But it just appeared out of the offensive line. You're like, where did the ball come from?
Well, he's got this really weird
delivery. That's what I'm saying. But like, it went between like two helmets. And it was just like, it just was shot out of a cannon into the only spot the ball could be thrown.
Mm-hmm.
Just a dot of dots. And I hopped up on the couch and scared the dogs. Because I gave a woo! I did the same thing when Caleb made that throw to Odunze on that first drive last night. Good Lord. When you see a throw like the one Mateer had, the one Caleb had last night, that's when the quarterback juices get going. When you see a guy off platform, just you're like, there's no, oh my God, he made that throw. That's what Mateer had.
That's how I feel when Kyle Schwarber hits home runs.
Yeah, it's one of those, right?
Ooh, baby.
But then he floats that duck. It turns into an interception immediately, and you're like, what the hell was that? But I will say, Oklahoma's better than I thought in the Mateer sense.
I think they're a lot better. I think they're a lot better overall than
I thought. They can't run the ball to save their lives.
They also couldn't stop the run.
No. And that's when I think of Oklahoma, as much as Lincoln Riley and Stoops and the quarterback play that they have had, what I think of when I think of Oklahoma is two things. Offensive line and running backs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely running backs.
And neither of those things are there right now. And it's very, very, very weird.
Their leading rusher is John Mateer with 19 carries of 74 yards. Number 2, Javonte Barnes, 6 carries, 24 yards. Torrey Blaylock, 9 carries, 24 yards.
They're not running the ball. I don't think it's like, oh, we're going to be like Texas A&M or Texas Tech Lite. I think it's because they know they can't run the ball.
Well, they're packaging it into Mateer's life. Well, because to your point, I don't think they're going to run it.
And the thing is, you can't have Mateer running the ball 15 times a game. That has to go away. He's going to get killed.
He's a big boy.
He's in the SEC. He's going to get killed.
He's a big boy.
He's going to get killed.
I hope he doesn't.
I hope he doesn't either, because right now I think he's probably your Heisman front runner.
Yeah, there was a little bit of last night. We'll get to the Monday Night Football game at the 12 o'clock hour, but there was a little bit of what we saw last night in quarterbacks from both of them in John Mateer, of looking really comfortable, really good, and then kind of having a quarter where he's like, I don't know, Jim. And then he kind of figured it out in the end. I think... To your point, you were saying this, and I agree. I think he is right now the Heisman candidate, for whatever that means.
Beck and him are tied, plus 1,000.
Oh,
actually,
okay.
And Nussmeier.
Okay, so
Dante Moore shot up. He is now fourth at 1,100.
That doesn't shock me. He's putting up video game numbers. Yeah. I'm glad to see Vegas thinks Carson Beck is as good as I do right now.
I also think that shows you just how wide open that race is.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Jeremiah Smith is the only non-quarterback in the top, God.
Well, that's also because they're
15, but they're 20.
But he honestly, if his name isn't Jeremiah Smith, wouldn't be there.
Oh my God.
Because that Ohio State offense is
Jeremiah Love at plus 6,000, Notre Dame, the running back. He is 25th, 30th.
Well, both Notre Dame and Ohio State's offenses haven't quite unlocked. I mean, I know you can play crappy teams and
win by
1,000 points, but they're still not quite there.
Good Lord, man. The entire list is quarterbacks. I mean,
yeah, it's a quarterback award.
I know, but it's like, it just shows you like how flat things are right now, that nobody, there isn't a single pass rusher, a single DB. Like Caleb Downs is nowhere on this, and he might be the best player in college football.
Yeah, but again, I don't think Ohio State has quite unlocked what they could be yet.
It's true.
You know, I mean, you could play a cupcake and beat them by 50, but I don't care.
It's technically...
Ohio State didn't look awesome against Texas.
No. I mean, they look good.
They beat them.
We're technically going to week three, so it's, you know, but we've had, you know, 0 week. We've had some football. Nobody has stood out yet. Mateer is the closest thing to standing out.
I agree.
Even then, it hasn't been like this blinding light of whole, like, you know, Genty was out of the gate. It was like, oh, this guy's...
Well, it helped that they played Oregon week two, and he had a great game against
all them. The big matchups, though, nobody had a big game.
No. LSU, Miami, nobody had a big game. I mean, I liked Carson Beck LSU, Clemson, nobody had a really big game.
And then Miami,
I liked Carson Beck in Miami against Notre Dame,
but
he wasn't great.
It wasn't, you know, 350 yards, 4 touchdowns.
I hated saying in the Ohio State-Texas game.
He threw for, what, 118 yards?
And other hyped quarterbacks. I mean, let's look at the freshman quarterback from this game that we're talking about. Bryce Underwood did not look good.
I thought he looked okay. If you're a Michigan fan, you probably feel pretty good about this game, because a guy who is in his second start as a college player, as a true freshman, showed you stuff while also still struggling.
Oh, for sure. But if I'm a Michigan fan, I also am like down to win 8 games this year.
Yeah.
Like, I'd be stoked to win 8 games.
100%.
A 14th ranked team, 15th in the nation coming into week 2.
Yeah, they're probably ranked a little too high.
Exactly. But I would take 8 wins if I'm Michigan. I know they're going to want 9. If you count the bowl win, maybe they go play a bowl game and, you know, Underwood will play.
Well, play the game right now. They've got Central Michigan, Nebraska, Wisconsin, USC, Washington, Michigan State, Purdue, Northwestern, Maryland, Ohio State. So Central Michigan win. The Nebraska game, that's going to be...
Can go either way.
Could go either way. Wisconsin should be a win.
SC can go either way. I might take SC in that game.
I want to see how SC looks coming into that game, but... I was more scared of Michigan before the Michigan-Oklahoma game. I'm feeling I had it as a toss-up between USC and Michigan coming into the season. After watching Michigan play, I would go 60-40 USC. Washington, they have at home. That's a toss-up. Michigan State's a win. Purdue's a win. Northwestern a win. Maryland a win. And then you finish with Ohio State. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Six, like... You should win games, 2 toss-ups, 3 toss-ups, and then Ohio State.
Just should not win. But they shouldn't have won last year.
8 wins is definitely on the table. 9 is very possible. Hmm. Very possible. So, yeah, if you win...
They have a soft schedule.
They do. It's, you know, it's actually really interesting.
They dodge everyone in the Big Ten.
Penn State, Oregon, Ohio State, all have great schedules this year.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, Ohio State, don't get me wrong, they opened up with Texas, but...
Does Ohio State play Penn State this year? No, they don't.
No, yeah, they do. Yeah, they do. Penn State, Illinois. Yeah.
Penn State and Illinois.
Yeah. But other than that, they have Washington, Minnesota, Wisconsin.
Oh, right. The Penn State game is at the Shoe.
Yeah, that's the...
I remember the TV thing about the World Series, yeah. This just came across on the, we were talking Heisman Trophy. This just came across on the fan text line, 503-864-6326. I'm willing to pivot and jump to this next. When we come back, this question is posed, is Oregon hurting their players' chances of Heisman because they play so many guys? None stand out. I think that's a fascinating conversation to have. In fact, we will pivot and go to that next. This is 105.1 The Fan. 11 o'clock hour, we'll get into some NFL news and notes. Bo Nix struggles. Aaron Rodgers is back, baby. Plus Web Gems at 11:45. We'll get to Monday Night Football in the 12 o'clock hour. What else was I going to say? And it's gone. There's the fan text line. We're ready to have you there. The YouTube chat as well. We took a little pivot. I wanted to chat a little group of five, where we are with group of five right now, to keep an eye on that, because I do think early season rankings are important for how you finish with group of five. Maybe we'll push that to tomorrow. But the question was asked on the text line, is Oregon hurting their players' chances of a Heisman because they play so many guys, none stand out? And then there was a follow-up of, don't get me wrong, I'd rather win rather than make sure we're in a play for a Heisman, just something I'm curious about, because UO clearly has studs. And I think that's your answer. I think what Lanning is realizing, and maybe what Lanning is building the blueprint, I think it's been easy for us to say why the Alabamas of the world, and maybe even Clemson against Troy this weekend, and Georgia, you know, the big narrative was they can't hoard 4- and 5-star guys anymore because they just transfer and go somewhere else. Well, Lanning is kind of finding a way to do that without actually doing it. You see what I'm saying? We talked about their depth yesterday.
They're going to lose some guys.
For sure they're going to lose some guys.
Come the end of this year, the transfer portal, the guys that aren't there, you know, as far as the top two in the depth chart, will go. But they've also shown that they'll go and get more. That's where you have to give I have said steadfastly, the reason I believe in this program now is because of Lanning and what they've been able to do as far as recruiting talent and retaining it. But you're crazy to think that all those quarterbacks are going to stay, that all those wide receivers are going to stay, that all those running backs are going to stay.
Like, Novastad's probably gone.
Well, Keely Smith Jr., like, somebody's going. You know, JKS already left.
Right.
Like, you know, and that's not a knock on Oregon. That's just the reality of college football now, is if you are not at the top two of a depth chart, you're going somewhere else.
Yeah, and I think this is why, to your point about why Lanning is the guy, this is why Mac Brown and Nick Saban don't coach in college football anymore, because it's such a different game and such a different route. And Dan Lanning is the guy figuring out how to navigate that, how to create depth in almost a depthless sport right now. Now, the one counter I will say to this question is, to your point when we were talking about Heisman contenders, look, it's a quarterback trophy. As much as I hate it, as much as I hate that the NFL is a quarterback trophy, and as much as I hate how basketball is a flavor of the year trophy sometimes.
Narrative,
all that kind of stuff, that it sometimes doesn't always go to the true, you know, like Ndamukong Suh could have won a Heisman.
Yeah.
Toby Gerhart
should
have won a Heisman.
Michael Jordan should have like 12 MVPs.
Exactly.
Like,
so
LeBron should have 12 MVPs.
It drives me crazy that the Heisman is that way as well, but... Look, Dante Moore is going to be the quarterback every week. He's your best shot at a Heisman. It's not Mekhi Hughes. It's not any of the receivers.
It's not DeCorian Moore.
No, DeCorian Moore is having an awesome start to the season, and he's getting the eyeballs that he needs. You know, and
he's not putting up the crooked numbers.
No, and Mekhi Hughes is getting more carries. That situation is figuring itself out. Looks like it was a whole lot of nothing. Like, that's all coming around. But as a quarterback trophy, basically,
yeah.
I mean, Dante Moore is going to be in that discussion if he continues to play this way. And I think Lanning knows that it's about, look.
It's about the long game.
Even if we go to the question that started after week one, what's with Mekhi Hughes? Even if Mekhi Hughes was getting 20 carries a game, he's never winning the Heisman.
Even if
he rushes for 1,000 yards and 25 touchdowns.
Genty was this close to breaking Barry Sanders' record and still did not win it.
Genty, Toby Gerhart, Christian McCaffrey are three of the craziest running backs that I've seen in college football. Mm-hmm. Didn't win a Heisman. You have to be Barry or Reggie Bush to win a Heisman.
You have to be one of the two greatest college running backs.
Adrian Peterson didn't win a Heisman Trophy.
He was crazy.
And he is crazy good. So I think when you're...
But Oklahoma's a great point because this is the thing I was talking to you about in week one with Oklahoma. Why the hell is John Mateer passing 37 times?
Because they don't got the back.
Well, not just that. They do look at that as a shiny little
without
thing
a doubt,
up there.
Without a doubt. And
look, Oklahoma has been the home of Heisman Trophy winning quarterbacks. Baker, Kyler, Caleb would have won one there.
Of late, yeah, for sure.
Like, they would have cranked another one out. There's no doubt about it. And if I don't think Oklahoma's factoring at all in a national championship. But you win a Heisman with Mateer, now you can go get another guy. Now you can go get another because that's that. Look, remember, he says, oh, Heisman doesn't matter. Let me tell you right now, it matters. You put that pelt up on the wall. Why do you think Lincoln Riley continues to get quarterbacks?
Because he's got a couple Heismans.
It's like if you're going to be for, you know, 20 years at Wisconsin, if you're a running back, go to Wisconsin because you're going to win every award because they're going to hand you the ball. Now, your NFL career.
The Ron Dane of the world, Monty Ball.
Yeah, your NFL career is going to just fall off a cliff because you've had 1,200 carries by the time you get to the NFL.
Because your legs are dead.
But you, if you want to be productive in college, you like if you're a tight end, go to Iowa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, go to places that sets you up for success. And Oklahoma is a school that does that for quarterbacks.
Text coming in on 503-864-63. Travis Hunter, yep. Mark Ingram, yep. Those guys won Heismans. Totally. I'm not saying it's only a quarterback award, but it feels
over the last 25 years,
more often than not, that's where it is. And to your point of what a Heisman Trophy does to your program, let's go down the road. Let's take Oregon, for example, okay? Pre-Marcus Mariota, those guys are athletes that can throw the ball.
Yeah.
Okay, you're talking about Jeremiah Masoli. You're talking about DeAnthony Thomas. Like, the quarterbacks, even when Oregon was really good, post-Joey, quarterbacks at Oregon, especially during Chip Kelly, Mark Helfrich kind of years, those are really just great kind of system athletic tempo guys. Marcus comes around. Then after Marcus, you're going Herbert and Bo Nix and Dylan Gabriel and Dante Moore. Now you've got quarterbacks.
Yes.
And that's
guys
why,
who are athletic but are quarterbacks first.
Yeah, and I don't think Lanning gives an S about a Heisman because it's about dubs. But if Dante Moore lives in that conversation, Dylan Gabriel lives in that conversation, Bo Nix lived in that conversation, then your quarterback play is always going to be at a high level.
They were all there at New York.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's what matters. And then one year, the ball's going to fall a certain way, the ping pong ball is going to drop a certain way, and you're going to be able to tack on a Heisman. And it'll be Dante Moore next year wins the Heisman, and he'll be with Mariota as your Heisman Trophy candidates. To answer the question, long story short, yes, playing the depth does hurt Heisman chances. But I also think not being a quarterback also puts you up against it. Who are the two best players in college football right now? Probably Jeremiah Smith and Caleb Downs. They're not winning a Heisman. 2 weeks in, they're not.
Jeremiah Smith,
if he had three touchdowns against Texas, that would put him in the front.
Well, here's
but he had three catches against Texas.
Because he has the momentum coming in, because he finished the season last year after the college football playoff, he had like 1,500 yards, I think is what it was, total season, because he was 900 something in the regular season last year, which for a true freshman is insane. It's not like, oh my God, but by the end of the year, when you tack on the other four games, yeah, he had crazy numbers. Mm-hmm. But let's say for the rest of the season, he ends up at like, let's just say he has like basically 180, 200 yards a game, which I don't see having with Sayan in any way, shape, or form.
I don't think so.
But let's just throw that out there. Mm-hmm. He could have the momentum because he has the momentum coming into the season. And
agreed.
The narrative could get behind him pretty solidly.
And Heisman has narrative.
Yes.
Very much so.
It does. I mean, it did around Hunter because remember the whole, shout out the Ducks. Snaps is not a stat. Did you see that when the Duck went on McAfee last year?
I did see that.
He had the dry erase board. Snaps isn't a stat. It was like they were almost caping for Genty.
Yeah, kind of.
I'm not even caping. Like he was. Like they went out there. I think he like highlighted Genty, if I remember right. It's like, yeah. But also, you know, also that bumped the Ducks profile up because the Ducks beat Boise State and Genty.
Sure. So and it makes like, you feel like you're not sour grapes for a close game.
No.
And it's not your guy. I mean, I didn't think Gabriel was really a Heisman guy, personally.
No. He was very good. Don't get me wrong.
Now, I think what you could do is you could probably hype guys up to be in the conversation next year. You know, if Julian Sayin is, which I think he's going to have a pretty big building year. Next year, if he's the starter, There you go. Now you can start talking Jeremiah Smith.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing is you start talking about narrative that way.
Because it's not Smith's fault that he's breaking in a brand new quarterback. It's not his fault at all. But it does take him away from the Heisman. All right, when we come back, let's throw over to the NFL and get into some leftovers from the weekend. Like I said, if you're waiting on our Monday Night Football reactions, we'll do that at the noon hour. So hang out with us for another hour. We'll get there. Speaking of Bo Nix, we'll talk him in the next hour. That's where we'll start. Aaron Rodgers, Web Gems, plus... is it a little dangerous to be a kicker in the NFL right now? There's some wild stats out of week one. Loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hang out with us. We're having a good time. That's Danny Meringue. I'm Patrick Harris, 105.1 The Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland.
You know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.